Христос Анести! Христос Воскреси! A question is asked today, brothers and sisters. A question that we ask many times, many, many times, daily, if indeed we are Christians. Who will roll away the stone for us? Who will roll away the stone? Yes, indeed. You ask this question many times, brothers and sisters. Sometimes we ask this question with faith. Sometimes, most of the time, unfortunately, without faith. The myrrh-bearing women came to the tomb to anoint a dead man. We know that he is not dead, but they didn't. Even though they had absorbed his teachings for 3 years, they did not understand completely. The resurrection is a difficult thing to understand, brothers and sisters. It's an easy thing to say we believe in, but it is very hard to apply to our lives. For 3 years, the myrrh-bearing women, the apostles, were around the Lord. They saw him raise the dead. They saw him make the blind to see, the deaf to hear. They heard his teachings. They felt his presence. And yet, they went to the tomb to anoint a dead man. Do we fault them for this? Oh, no. Indeed, we dedicate this third Sunday of Pascha to their memory. And why do we do this? Not because of their mistake, not because of their misunderstanding, not because they did not really believe fully in the resurrection at that time. Oh, no. But we commemorate them and revere them because what they did is sort of an encapsulation of the entire Christian life for you and I. The entire gospel is laid out. How to save your soul is laid out in this gospel in exact detail for those who have ears to hear and eyes to see. The myrrh-bearing women saw where Jesus was laid. Already Joseph and Nicodemus had done some of the preliminary things. Joseph had a tomb which he had for himself, but he gave it to Christ. It was hewn out of a rock. It was never used by any man. So they put him in this tomb, wrapping him in the way the Jews bury, with myrrh and aloes. But it was a hasty job because it was just before the Passover. So they didn't have time to complete it the way they would have liked to. So the myrrh-bearing women were going to finish this job on a dead man. So they thought. So they go to the tomb early in the morning. The first thoughts that they had were of Christ. Mark this well. This is not just history, brothers and sisters. This is not just an interesting story to retell. This is the way of salvation. Early in the morning they arose. Their first thought was Christ. Mark this well, because is your first thought Christ when you arise in the morning? Is your first thought Christ when you go about your business? Do you arise early in the morning to pray, or just early enough to be able to jump in the car and fly off to work? They arose early in the morning, and they were ignorant. They were bringing myrrh and ointments to anoint someone who wasn't there. And in their ignorance, they continued to walk. Now, this was a time of great unrest among his disciples and his followers, because at any moment any of them could have been killed. Remember, the Sadducees and Pharisees wanted to kill Lazarus. They had a contract out on him. They were never successful. And they wanted to kill others as well. So it was dangerous for them to do what they were doing. Why did they do it? Because of love. Not because of their full understanding, because they didn't have this. Because of love. Because of a feeling of duty. Not that anyone told them to do, but within them. They wanted to anoint the God-man Jesus Christ because of love for him, in gratitude for what he had done for them in those past 3 years. Now, what they were thinking was totally unrealistic. They had no tools. They didn't have the strength. There was a great stone in front of the tomb. And as they're walking to the tomb, they say, "Who will roll us away the stone?" They hadn't even gotten that detail taken care of yet, and yet they were going in faith that they were going to go do it. They were probably so sad and so beside themselves that they were probably halfway to the tomb before they remembered. There's a stone before the tomb. We all get this way sometimes, so flummoxed up by daily life that we forget things. Well, they kept walking, and they saw that the stone was rolled away. What is this stone, brothers and sisters? And what is this walk that they took? It's not just an event that happened. This is God revealing himself to man. Let us talk about the stone. The stone lies in front of the tomb. The God-man was in the tomb. Revelation of glory was in the tomb. Our salvation was within the tomb. Our enlightenment was within the tomb. And there was a stone in front of the tomb. What is the stone? Isn't it our own ignorance, our own sins, our own doubts, our own misplaced priorities, our own weakness, even when we want to do well, our fear? Isn't this the stone? Don't all of us have a stone? Don't all of us desire to do well in certain things and we do not accomplish the task? Don't all of us, as Christians, don't we desire to do well to people even when they do evil? How many of us accomplish this every time? Don't all of us wish to always have thoughts that are good and righteous within our minds? How often do we accomplish this? Don't all of us wish to pray with fervor and consistently during the day and at set times during the day? How many of us accomplish this? Don't all of us want to be happy when an enemy does well? In your heart, don't you want to be? How often are we? There are dozens and hundreds of other things that are part of this stone that is in front of the tomb. It obscures our view of Christ. It keeps us from full happiness. His revelation is not fully revealed because this stone. Who will roll away the stone? The God-man rolls away the stone. He uses his angels. In this case, sometimes only his own grace. He rolls away the stone. Now we understand this. We understand God reveals himself to man. We understand that only by God's help can we accomplish anything. We know this. This is elementary theology. But what is not so elementary, brothers and sisters, is to keep walking to the tomb. That is the difficult part of life. Because there's ignorance in our life, is there not? We don't understand things. Sometimes we don't understand why we should do certain things. Sometimes we are afraid as we continue in prayer or in struggling to accomplish something or to get rid of something in our life that really vexes us. We feel fear. We feel uncertainty. We don't know how it's going to turn out. We would like to be able to understand what the future will be. But we don't know. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. not in the specific, but in the general, indeed, as Christians, you do know. You do know, if you believe, that Jesus Christ will roll away all of the stone and will reveal himself fully to you. But only if you continue to walk your way to the tomb. Now, what did the myrrh-bearing women bring to the tomb? Myrrh. It's not a trick question. Myrrh and aloes and ointments. And what is myrrh? Myrrh is something which purifies. It dries things out. It's very sweet smelling, but besides smelling sweet as incense, it dries things out so that it can preserve a body. That's what it was used for, to keep a body from decaying and to make it smell sweet. And the ointments were sweet smelling. The myrrh-bearing women did not go to the tomb empty-handed. They came bringing sweet things. What are these sweet things, brothers and sisters? Are they none other than our response to God's grace as he enlightens us? They had been enlightened a certain amount. They did not fully understand. After all, they were going to anoint a dead man who was not dead. But with the enlightenment that they had, the understanding that they had, they acted upon. And they took sweet things. They reacted to grace. They tried to become better. They acted out of love, dwelling within their hearts. So must we. We must go to the tomb with sweet things, learning God's commandments and following them, because indeed they are sweet. Do not go to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, empty-handed. Don't be like the man without the wedding garment in the wedding feast. None of us deserve to be in the feast. And that man didn't either. But his mistake was that he did not wish to appropriate God's grace. He did not wish to change. He did not wish to become holy. He did not want to bring myrrh and aloes to the tomb. He was accepting God's invitation, but he was not accepting the responsibility. Brothers and sisters, you must walk to the tomb bearing myrrh and aloes. And you must expect that that stone which is over your heart, which keeps you from doing things, which keeps you from feeling as you wish to feel, which keeps you from reacting as you wish to react, which keeps you from peace, that stone will be rolled away. Now, the murdering women did not understand, and yet they went. And we are no different. If we are to truly follow their way, we're no different. Some of us, unfortunately, sometimes do not continue to walk towards the tomb because we get frightened by our circumstances or we get overwhelmed by our false priorities. Or we say, well, you know, after all, I deserve this or I deserve that or I don't have time and all the rest of these lame excuses. And we don't continue our way to the tomb. And the stone lays there and it oppresses us and it's heavy and it hurts and it's cold. What a sad thing that God has given us this means through his incarnation, his death and his resurrection and the sending of the Holy Spirit to completely obliterate everything that's incomplete in us, everything that's lacking, everything that hurts, everything we don't want to be, gives us that power. Now, we don't understand all of it. It has not all been revealed to us because we don't have the ability to understand it. But as we walk towards the tomb, we will have that ability. And even things that you think that there's a portion of your heart, God help you that it would only be a portion and not the entire part. That has trouble believing that some aspect of you can change, that some situation can get better, that you can truly obtain peace, even if you have this portion of your heart that has these false opinions, and you cannot quite eradicate it. Take heart. The women had this false opinion about the Lord, but they walked, they journeyed, and beyond all their expectations, they saw the stone was rolled away. And then God, through his angel, revealed that he was resurrected. And later, after the women came back to the tomb a second time, Mary Magdalene and others saw the Lord resurrected in the flesh. Brothers and sisters, live according to faith. That doesn't mean that you know everything. That doesn't mean that you understand everything. But it means that you react to God's mercy and his grace by struggle. It's all that's important in life. It's all that matters. Don't we all want to have peace? That's what God promises. We speak about it a lot in the liturgy and in all the services. Peace be with you. It's not just a little filler liturgical phrase. This is what God brings us. Peace. There's a lot in my life that's not at peace. And that is why I'm a Christian. Because I don't want it. I want to be rid of that part that doesn't have peace. I want to be at peace. I want to be holy. And all of you should too. The way to accomplish it, brothers and sisters, is to react to God's grace. And that walk to the tomb is your life. And believe that God will indeed roll away the stone from the tomb. I pray that you would really believe this. Not for some distant time in the future, so far away that you can't even imagine when it would be. But believe that God will roll away the stone now. Now he can help you. The resurrection applies now to you. The kingdom of heaven is within you now. You can change now. In fact, you must struggle to change now, or else you're not a Christian. Notice I said struggle to change. God is interested in desire. He supplies the results. The women had desire, but not the ability. God provided the angel to roll away the stone. May God help you to believe in the resurrection, brothers and sisters, and to bring good gifts to God for his great gift to us. Amen.